It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Everything changes, including the way we mourn. For Americans, the ongoing evolution of how we pay tribute to our deceased loved ones includes roadside shrines, memorial tattoos, green burials, and more. Journalist and Pittsburgh native Kate Sweeney has chronicled all of this in a new book called American Afterlife, Encounters in the Customs of Mourning. She's in town to do readings from the book, and she works as a host and producer at the NPR member station in Atlanta. She joins us now in Studio A. Kate Sweeney, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to be here, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So what got you interested in the topic, this particular topic, and writing a book about it?
That's a great question, because people meet me and they say, you know, you're not a really gloomy person, so why did you write this book all about death?
Yes, you're sitting here with a smile on your face as we speak.
Right, right. And I think it all started because I was obsessed with that TV show, 6 Feet Under. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Sure, of course, yes.
Yeah, show on HBO about the funeral family. And I just sort of, I was obsessed with it, and I didn't know why. And I was sort of reading everything I could get my hands on it that had to do with that show. And I was reading an article in the New Yorker, and it was talking about 6 Feet Under, and it mentioned this phenomenon called green burial, which is ecologically friendly burial, so without embalming or anything that doesn't biodegrade down completely. And it mentioned, sort of almost as a footnote, that the nation's first green burial cemetery is in South Carolina, and that wasn't too far from where I was living. So I thought, ooh, I could pay them a visit and I could write a feature article. And I did just that, and that got published in Oxford American Magazine. And it just kind of snowballed. So I did that, and I started learning all of this stuff about the funeral industry and about our history as a country when it comes to funerals. And then it seemed like everywhere I looked, there was stuff about memorialization and death and dying, all the things we do with our ashes, all of the things that our forebears in the 18th century, or rather the 19th century, did. And these are the folks who sort of invented everything we think of when it comes to death and memorialization, you know, from like cemeteries to the deathbed scene. And so I just kept writing about it. And then I had a book.
Well, it's how much does it say about how we mourn is evolving? Years ago, the most insulting thing for in terms of honoring the memory of a deceased loved one was to bury them in a pine box, which now is the thing to do, right? I mean, there's something that is biodegradable, mm-hmm. A green burial, right?
Yeah, but green burial is becoming extremely sort of trendy, I guess, as you say. When I first started following the phenomenon, that particular phenomenon,
I mean, I think
in 2007, it wasn't very popular. And now I think there were 4 green burial cemeteries in the nation in 2007. When I last checked on the number of green burial cemeteries in the nation last year, there were 40. And so this is becoming a huge trend. And I think a lot of it has to do with our baby boomer population.
In terms of a pop culture reference, I think back to the movie About Schmidt, where Jack Nicholson's wife dies, and he's explaining how the funeral plan, and it's and when his daughter realizes what he's describing, she says, "A pine box? You're going to bury our mother in a pine box?" Mm-hmm. And she's upset. But now, 10 years after that movie was made, the perception has changed.
Absolutely. And you'll find, if you visit funeral homes, that the wooden boxes, your pine box, not necessarily your pine boxes, but the wooden boxes are going to be your more upscale, expensive caskets than the metal ones these days.
We are talking about the evolution of how we mourn by the author of a book called American Afterlife, Encounters in the Customs of Mourning. Kate Sweeney is our guest. You can join the conversation with her by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. How have your perceptions of mourning changed and evolved in recent years? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. How different is how we mourn from the way the rest of the world mourns?
That's a great question. You know what? If you talk with folks from Great Britain, and I've talked with, and weirdly enough, this sort of journey of writing this book has put me in touch with a lot of people from other sort of English-speaking countries. And the perception of how Americans mourn is that we're fairly ostentatious. You know, that we have these sort of the big funeral, you know, and you have all the plastic flowers, and you have the little piece of astroturf that goes around the grave.
Right.
And a lot of the time people from other countries see that and they say, you know, I don't want all that. We want something sort of simple, quiet. Numbers of cremations in other countries are a lot higher than they are in the United States, although it's very much on the rise here. Cremation is predicted to outpace traditional full body burial by 2016. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. And now, in fact, in this country, the most popular method of sort of, I guess you'd say, disposal is with cremation. You see scattering of ashes, and that's sort of really on the rise.
Right. But that goes back a ways. I mean, it may not have been so popular, but you know, I can recall since I was a kid hearing mm-hmm. people talk about, I want to be cremated. I want my ashes, you know, thrown, scattered over the sea or over, you know, Forbes Field or wherever it might have been. What about that in terms of how it compares with traditions in other countries? The idea of the cremation and putting the ashes in an urn and putting them on your mantelpiece, is that as common in other countries as it seems to be in the United States?
Well, to tell you the truth, most of my research is focused in the United States. And so I will say that things have definitely changed in this country in terms of cremation being so much more popular than it once was. You know, we look at our customs, for example, in the 1900s, when a really popular trend was to make jewelry out of human hair. And, you know, people would wear that. They'd wear necklaces around. They'd wear bracelets.
And this was
brooches.
When?
In the 1800s.
In the United States.
In the United States. This was a hugely popular trend.
Wow.
People would make tiaras. They would make wreaths that they would hang over the fireplace. You know, it'd be your mother's hair. This was the age.
Why wouldn't you?
Why not, right?
Yeah.
And so we look at that now and we think, wow, that's kind of – it strikes us as strange and morbid now, but – look at the things that we do with ashes. You know, people, again, they're making jewelry with ashes. You know, you can get lockets that contain ashes that you can wear around. People are getting ashes made into – you can get them put into tattoo ink. And actually, people have shown me tattoos and said, oh, this is my father.
You have a tattoo on the inside of your left forearm.
I do, but it is not a memorial.
It is
tattoo.
Okay. I was getting, because when you started showing it to me, I thought, oh, here we go. 412-246-2002. Let's go to Pete in Penn Hills, who wants to join our conversation with Kate Sweeney. Pete, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, thank you.
Well, my name is Pete McQuillan, and Kate may remember me because I was a Sunday school teacher at her church.
Yeah. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm good, Kate. And I also run the first green cemetery in Pennsylvania, which is Penn Forest Natural Burial Park out in Penn Hills. And so I just thought I'd chime in and let you know about that and see if you have any questions for me.
Well, what about it, Kate? So you run the first natural burial part in Pennsylvania?
In Pennsylvania, yeah. It's in Penn Hills.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is green burial, right? So that's burial without, you know, embalming, as we've said, and anything that doesn't biodegrade completely. And it's definitely a trend that we're seeing in this country. And I think definitely, as I said, you know, we were talking about the baby boomer population, and you think this is the generation that popularized things like, you know, getting married on the beach. You know, I'm going to do marriage the way I want to. I'm going to do that rite of passage the way I want to. I'm going to do birth the way I want to. You know, we're going to have our baby at home, maybe. You know, before that generation, you didn't see that happening. And now these are folks who are facing that final rite of passage. and maybe have gone through it with their own parents and seen how their dying happened and how their death happened, and said, okay, you know, when this happens to me, I want to be able to take control of this experience. And so we see the rise of things like hospice care. We see the rise of things like the green burial movement and even the home funeral movement. And then all of these creative options when it comes to memorialization and things we do with our ashes and creative memorial services. And so I think that's a big reason that we're seeing this spread of things like green burial and the Green Burial Cemetery right here in Pennsylvania that Pete's telling us about.
And a question occurs to me, why not have green burial plots in traditional cemeteries? Why do we need separate locations?
Well, there are green burial plots in traditional cemeteries. But our approach is to use, we are located on 32 acres of forest, and our approach is to bury people in the woods and under a tree or beside a tree, and use the income from selling cemetery lots to reforest and plant new trees. And so it's a different model than a conventional cemetery. We're not, and
sure.
we are a life cycle event. We are a park. We have people come for events, and we have hiking trails, and we have nature walks, and we have other things. It's not your conventional cemetery at all.
It would seem to kind of demystify maybe the whole death and mourning experience.
Exactly. I mean, folks that I spoke to for the book at other green burial cemeteries across the nation said, for one thing, the emphasis is on the place being a nature preserve first. And some of these places, you know, they hold weddings also at that very same park. And there's one woman I talked to, she and her family, every year on the anniversary of her brother's birthday, he's buried at that particular green burial cemetery, they have a weenie roast every year, and they go and they roast hot dogs, and his buddies play bluegrass music, and it's a picnic.
Well, it seemed to take something from the Mexican tradition of the Day of the Dead, which is celebrated with a feast, right?
Very similar, and also very similar again to what our Victorian forebears did.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Janet in Central City. Janet, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello?
Hi, Janet. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, my husband and I have always been very interested in the way the Tibetans, or maybe a Buddhist tradition, do things. And that's they seem to just chop up the body and put it out for the birds of prey. Or the Native Americans have the raised platforms and the bodies put there for the, you know, animals and birds of prey. We always thought that would be absolutely wonderful, because not only is that not being, you know, put under the ground, which is kind of creepy, or being put in a, you know, a raging fire, which is also kind of scary. It's just being out there, you know, under the sky and just going back into the whole circle of life thing. And I was wondering if you know of any situations where you can do that in the United States, or, you know, where that would be possible.
And I appreciate your feeling about this, Janet. Some might say, however, that what you're describing is creepy. I'm not saying that, but some might.
Yeah, but think about it. You know, I mean, I think it's less creepy than pumping chemicals through your body and being put in a strange little box inside another box inside another box.
You have a point. You have a point, Janet. Well, what about it, Kate?
So you're describing the Tibetan sky burial, that Buddhist tradition. I will say that laws for all of this stuff really varies from state to state, and I don't know what the situation is here in Pennsylvania. But, you know, again, it's interesting to check out. And you do raise a good point, you know, sort of what one person's creepy is another
Seems
person's,
perfectly normal
oh,
to
this
someone
is natural
else.
And this is the way it should be. And when I first started researching the book, you know, I got stories from folks who had, you know, sort of everything under the sun, you know, folks who'd had their loved ones embalmed and sort of funeralized in what has become in the last only 150 years or so traditional way of memorialization in this country, to people who had their loved ones' ashes made into artificial coral reefs and jettisoned those into the bottom of the sea, to green burial, to people who had their loved ones' ashes scattered, and all sorts of things. And you know, I found that for every person I talked to, he or she would have a story that was so amazing that I found it difficult to say any longer, well, I think that doing it this way is the right way, or I think doing it this way is problematic, because for every method of memorialization we look at, you're going to find somebody who for whom it was absolutely right and for whom it was very important in their grieving process. And so it's interesting to, you know, go around the country and talk with people about their own experiences, because this is something about which people have such strong opinions, and everybody has a personal story that's just, you know, compelling as all get out.
And the evolution certainly is continuing. Are we seeing more of a return to old mourning traditions?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because I think in a way we almost are. People look at things like earlier we were talking about green burial or ecologically friendly burial. And on one hand, you might look at that as being sort of, that's a new environmentalist tradition. But on the other hand, think about the ways that our great-grandparents and their parents did it. It was the same thing, burial without embalming, maybe on the back nine of your land. And so – in a way, that is a return to the way that, you know, we used to do things back in the day. And there's as I said, there's this new trend with home funerals. Same thing.
Kate Sweeney is author of American Afterlife, Encounters in the Customs of Mourning. Kate Sweeney, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck to you and with your show at the NPR member station in Atlanta.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to reading tomorrow at Pitt at 4 p.m. at the Cathedral of Learning. Thanks so much to the Crow Fund and the Honors College for that. But that's going to be tomorrow at the Cathedral of Learning. And then I actually have a bonus reading tonight at Penguin Bookshop in Sewickley at 6. And I would love to see people out at that. Say hey.
Sounds great. Show up. It's an interesting topic. Coming up, Brian Cuban, who chronicles his battles with drug addiction and body dysmorphic disorder in the memoir Shattered Image. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.